This is Radio City Talk.
We are days away from the proper Olympics starting. Now, there has been some tournaments and some bits and pieces that have had to start sort of unofficially outside the big crescendo of the beginning of the Olympics. But I'm delighted to say I can be joined by a gentleman who's been with me over the last number of weeks with the Tour de France to chat Team GB, not only on the track, but on the road as well, and an interesting week for cycling. Hopefully, despite the fact we've a bit of a Rio-based delay, Anthony McCrossan is there. Anthony, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Connor. I'm one block away from Copacabana Beach.
Oh, no. Tell me at least in your hand, you've got some sort of pineapple with a straw sticking out of it and some ridiculous umbrellas.
Well, the kit we're wearing is pineapple coloured, so I guess that's about as close as it gets, to be honest. But we've just had coconuts with a straw out of them on the beach.
That's not bad. That's exactly what I was looking for. I'm happy enough with that. Well, listen, I'll not hold you too long because I know you've got a massive media schedule there. But first of all, have to start with what everybody's been talking about in Great Britain. Here on the station as well would be Lizzie Armistead. Has this stopped now? Is this going to be done and dusted? She's going to be at the Olympics despite three failed tests, or indeed three missing tests, I should say.
Yeah, I mean, Lizzie arrived yesterday. She was arriving yesterday. To be honest, I haven't seen her yet. She's staying in the athlete's village, and the road race is down, this race starts on Copacabana beachfront. So she'll be here on Sunday. I can imagine right now she's trying to concentrate on keeping herself to herself and going out and looking at this course that she's going to be racing on Sunday, which, to be honest, I drove around it yesterday and it's incredibly hard. It's probably the hardest Olympic road race course we've ever seen, and certainly for the women, it's one of the hardest one days of racing that they're going to have for many, many years. It's incredibly tough.
The thing that gets me about this is the fact that this isn't a new athlete. This isn't an athlete who's going to her first Olympic Games. This is a woman who got the silver in London 2012. She's the reigning world champion. How do you miss three tests? And this is a lady who has, in essence, been absolutely championing clean sports and been championing the stuff that WADA and other associations have been doing. How does this happen?
Yeah, I actually want to talk to Lizzie face to face. I've known Lizzie since she pretty much started racing, and she's been she's been totally outspoken about doping, anti-doping. She's said that on many occasions she's been quoted as saying her competitors haven't been tested enough. Something pretty badly went wrong. I don't know if you and other listeners read her own personal statement yesterday. There's something clearly that happened on the third test which related to her family, and she doesn't want to go into the detail of it. There's a story in the background there somewhere, and I think she's an athlete in has got a world profile. She's a world champion. Something seriously went wrong. I don't know what it is. I'm going to talk to her when I see her in the next few days, hopefully, and just get to the bottom personally of what happened, because I don't feel like I can comment right now, but as an athlete, you shouldn't miss three tests.
Yeah, specifically, you know,
I'm known to miss one, and they sometimes miss two, but you do not miss three because it can be career-ending.
You can see, right, the first one she missed was because she was staying in a hotel in Sweden. They didn't know her room number, which is a massive. It's a really, really unfortunate thing to happen, but at the same time, it's her responsibility, or indeed British Cycling's responsibility, to make sure they know the rim number, and that's just the start of the chain of things.
As a professional athlete and as a world level athlete, it's your responsibility to fill out what you call the whereabouts system. It's WADA's system, where an athlete has to say for 1 hour every single day where you are, and they can be tested any time from 5 a.m. until 10 p.m. at night during that 1 hour window where they say they are. It sounds clearly the whole decision about banning her was overturned because the UK anti-doping person who turned up didn't follow the procedures in Vigoda in Sweden, where she was actually going to be tested. So something went wrong there, and they didn't follow the protocol. And to be fair, from what she's saying and what most athletes at world level would say, you don't want a hotel giving away your room number for anyone to knock on your room number door at any time in the morning, because some of these athletes do have troubles with fans who get too close or people they don't want around them. I can understand that, but it shouldn't happen that she missed three tests.
Right, we're going to move on from that just very quickly, because I don't want British cycling, and I don't indeed want this show, when we're talking about British cycling, to be consistently harping back to that, because I'm sure there's enough media coverage on that, because there's a real, real positivity about cycling, as in Andrew McCausland over the last number of weeks telling me to buy some Lycra shorts and get out actually on my bike. But Chris Froome is going head-to-head in the men's road race with Alejandro Valverde. How do you suspect he's going to do there?
So the first big chance for Britain to win a medal is on Saturday. It's the first big race. The riders riding 237 kilometres. It's really tough. We drove around it yesterday. The final circuit that the riders race on has got a 9-kilometre climb. The 9-kilometre climb has got ramps of 18% on it. I didn't really think that this was going to be Froome's day, but actually, having driven around it yesterday, I think it suits Froome perfectly, to be honest. And I think it will be the big names that we saw in the Tour de France racing against him. I think Romain Bardet, it's definitely a day for him. That's a perfect climb for him. But I think the big danger man for a British big win is Vincenzo Nibali of Italy, because the technical descent on the circuit suits the shark very well indeed.
Right, let's have a look at the men's team pursuit. Is it going to be Great Britain against Australia again? It looks that way. Sir Bradley Wiggins' Team GB are available at 4-5 to take the gold once again. Do you suspect it's going to be that?
Yeah, I mean, the tracks kicks off in another week or so's time, and I'm going to be the speaker in the velodrome. I can't wait for that. I think you're absolutely right. It's going to be Great Britain against Australia in the final, unless something goes wrong. And so Bradley Wiggins is already saying he's so honoured to be there again. And can he win another gold? I think it's a big, big chance for them to take a gold medal.
Well, listen, we could talk about Lizzie Armistead. We could talk about the team pursuit, the women's team spirit as well. We could talk about the women's time trial. There's so much going on here. But listen, the beauty about you being at Rio is the fact that we can use your expertise right throughout the Olympics. And please God, with the help of a good, strong phone line and plenty of coconuts with straws in them, we'll be able to do that between now and the end of the Olympics. Anthony McCrossan, it's a pleasure as always. Enjoy your time and be safe out there.
Thank you very much. I look forward to giving you some updates during the next couple of weeks. This is Radio City Talk.